Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living. I recently read a book about a man who talked about eternal hope. He was inspired to do so because of his wife, who is dying of cancer, exhibited that hope in her last days. He talks about how when she went to a florist, as her days were drawing to an end, she wondered what people were asking, well, what kind of flowers would you like? What was your last request? And she didn't see any that appealed to her. She's already thinking about this. But she saw, congratulations on your new arrival. And she said, that's it. I also think about Aunt Trini on the side of my wife, Abby, who just days before she died, when Abby visited her, said, was concerned about how she is doing, was able to give, and not be concerned about where she's going. So how we end our lives really depends on how we live now. And so we see a wonderful end from our first reading from the book of Maccabees, where these brothers and their mother were willing to give their lives courageously rather than compromise their faith, rather than apostatize before their oppressors. This is the same faith that these other two individuals had. Why were they able to be so courageous at the end of their life? Is it not because they believe that they have a home in heaven? Which brings us to our gospel reading. In our gospel reading, we have this example of the Sadducees. And the Sadducees don't believe in heaven. They were contrasted in the gospels with the Pharisees. And they focused on the five books of Moses, where there's not any clear teaching about the afterlife. And so here is where Jesus points out, just drawing only on the books of Moses, which they studied, the Pentateuch, the Torah, and says that, gives us example about how Moses referred to the God of Isaac and Jacob, and of course Abraham, not as he was their God, but is their God. And says, now he is not God of the dead, but of the living. And so what he says here in this is a subtle rebuke to the Sadducees by saying, who don't see what Moses saw, saying, you are not living because you do not believe in God in the same way that he did. But the men and the mother in Maccabees, you might say, are a precursor to what it means to be born again, unlike these Sadducees. See, if they were in Nicodemus' shoes, where Jesus first uses this term, being born again, I think they would have responded right away, just from how they ended their life. Because Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born from above. And they had already experienced life from above, which is why they could forsake their earthly life and remain faithful to the end. For them, the reality of heaven was greater than the gifts of earth. Now, the question for you and me today, the imperative question is, would you have this courage? That might seem unfair. I mean, we're not put in this position. How can you ask me if I have this courage now? How can I know? But like the woman who eagerly anticipated her passing from cancer, right? the seeds of our end begin now. And this is what it means to believe. Because we're all called to die well, no matter what the circumstances. So God must be real for us now if he's going to be real for us then. But much of religion includes so much routine that he's not always so real. It's not a given. Imagine the synagogue life of these men and the mother from Maccabees, and how many people, because it's their social climate, went to synagogue, did their duties, did the routines, right? But they did not die the way they did because God was not so real to them in the midst of this. And so it is for us in the church as well. Even though we're not in a pervasive Christian culture now, we still face more adversity, so it does take more faith to remain faithful. But still, even our microculture, we can get into routines of just showing up, being there. It can be very comfortable. But is there living faith? Is there living faith? As A.W. Tozer said, any belief that does not command the one who holds it is not real belief. He says it might shock some of us profoundly if we were brought suddenly face to face with our beliefs and forced to test them in the fires of practical living. And so, imagine for a moment if you or I, right, yourself, let's each of us imagine ourselves, right, in that space where we are called to either lay down our lives for the truth or to choose the life as we knew it the day before, right? Your spouse, your children, your hobbies, your home, these are all very real, right? Because we see them, we experience them. But God, we do not see. Will you be willing to give up what you don't see for what you do see? You can only do this as heaven is more real than what you experience on earth. We're going to wind up with this in just a moment. We're going to conclude with this in just a moment. But let's consider, though, that these Maccabees did not have the clear teaching of heaven that we have today. But Paul tells us we do not lose heart, for our outer nature is wasting away while our inner nature is being renewed every day. For this slight momentary affliction, that is, life in a fallen world, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, because we do not look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that we are seeing are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The question are these words real for us every day? To help us get closer to that, we're going to look at reasonable belief, relationship, and reality, coming back to that heavenly reality. So first, reasonable belief. So the men of Maccabees, the mother, they believed. Do you believe as they do? Now, to some people, that will sound like an unfair question, because you can't make yourself believe. As Tozer says elsewhere, any more than you can take a barren tree and command it to have leaves. Okay? So if you have doubts, you have to be honest with them, right? And isn't it often said that faith is a gift? Well, yes, faith is a gift. But it's a gift that is given to everyone who wants it. I took a whole message talking about this last year, but just briefly, let's just say there's a reason why Jesus rebukes those who don't have any faith. It's not because, it's because we have a responsibility to cultivate what we know. Faith is something that is freely offered to anyone who will receive it. It's not a leap in the dark, but a walk in the light. But it comes by degrees as you take steps toward it, and God opens doors. Which brings us to relationship, cultivating a relationship with God. Now, the Sadducees couldn't see what the young men in the book of Maccabees saw. Why? Because it wasn't in the book, this teaching of everlasting life. It wasn't in the first five books of Moses. They knew the book. Now, I could hand you a map of Baltimore, and you could study it very well. You could memorize all the streets. You can know the streets better than I do. But would you know Baltimore? No, of course not. You don't know the city unless you live there, sample the restaurants, meet the people, go to the kinetic sculpture race, take a prayer walk in West Baltimore with Bishop Madden. They could study God, but they didn't know him. So how do you know God? By pursuing him with your whole heart. And this in our epistle reading, St. Paul talks about as he prays that God will encourage God's people in your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. You see, deed, action, and word, knowledge. Because here we see the biblical idea of the heart is not just emotion, but it includes the intellect and how we live. You can't separate one for the other and truly know God. You know, if a psychologist, you know, or somebody were interviewing you, right, and without a smile, just ask you questions. How do you act in this situation? Okay, it takes down the notes. You would answer, but are you going to reveal yourself to him? All right, yes, that's what I do. All right. He's not going to know you, right? And nor is emotional love only love, right? Somebody only just has an emotional love for a girlfriend, but doesn't give his life for her. That's not true love. We know that. Well, nor I remember Jim of blessed memory, a blind man, and he said when people would come and read to him, but it was only out of duty, that doesn't work either. He said he couldn't stand it. He could tell if somebody didn't really want to be there. And so God will not reveal himself to you unless you're seeking him with your whole heart. But if you respond in faith with your emotion, if you walk and you repent, right, then God will swell you with emotion, which moves you to study more, and then the cycle continues. And next thing you know, that God is real to you through relationship. As Paul says again in epistle reading, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. And this is the endurance that the Maccabees had. Even though they did not have the explicit teaching. Yes, they had the law. And we think of the law, right? But you read about how the psalmist in 119 talks about his love for the law. And it lifts up the Christian heart with all that we have. He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. He says, I will meditate, that's the knowledge, in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. And he says, and so then in the doing, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Here's the emotion, the intellect, the doing all together. But all they had was the aroma of the feast. But we have the feast of the full teaching of this reality in our faith. And so we have, it's a reasonable belief that is cultivated by relationship, which brings us to the reality. Why union with God was more real for the Maccabees than earthly love. So they were able, so how we cultivate this is by, as the writer to the Ecclesiastes says, it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting, because that orients our priorities. St. Jerome is always depicted with a skull because he wasn't afraid to look at death, because heaven was so real, right? But in our modern mind, we sanitize everything and don't want to admit death is real. It does not prepare us to live well, nor to end well. But if you don't, if these men of Maccabees and the mother, right, were to not have God, they were to apostatize, then the world would be two-dimensional at best. It would be flat. Where with God, because he's so real, it's multidimensional. And it's like when I go cross-country skiing, which I love more than anything else, so sublime to be in a quiet corridor with the newly fallen snow. But it's only three-quarters as good as it could be. Why? Because my wife is not there to enjoy it with me. Okay? And so when you love someone, you don't enjoy life as much if you can't share it. So if we can't enjoy life without that relationship with God, then the converse is true. Jesus loves us so much that heaven is not complete without you. And you feel this when you know him. And so Jesus had a vision of his death in the Garden of Gethsemane, the wrath of God that he would experience, almost more than he could bear. And it's because of this, because he went through what you and I will never have to go through. You and I will never face that wrath. That we can go to his love. And that he loved us so much to endure that for us. And we do that now. We go to the Eucharist, where Jesus' sacrifice is made present for us. But also, his resurrection is made present for us as we receive him. Yes, the Maccabees only had an aroma of the feast, but we have the reality of the feast. And so it's a reasonable belief. Let's, so as you come, enter into that relationship. Make that reality present so you will know him, feel him, and follow him. Living well so you can end well.